Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that even creation itself will be set free from slavery to corruption, in order to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that all creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time. And not only creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, a friend of mine had property on a big creek. He called it a small river. It was a little difficult to get across that river. So in his wisdom, he built a wooden bridge. Looked nice. We walked across it all the time when we were there. But then the river rose with flooding. And all of a sudden, that bridge got weak. And one of us was walking on it when it collapsed. Gone! The builder of the bridge was discouraged. I did everything I thought was right, and it didn't work. What am I going to do? Discouragement. It's something I think we all have suffered at one time or another. But should we be discouraged? Paul addresses this concern in our text. He gives us a word for discouraged Christians. We first of all look at the cause of these discouragements. For creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it. All creation. You go back to the beginning of time, and meticulously, God created everything, and he did it perfectly. That meant the sun, the stars, the moon. It meant the earth with the flowers and the trees. It meant the oceans with the fish in them. It meant the land with all of the animals in them and all the beauty of the land. I did get to see Grand Canyon. Beautiful, beautiful sight with all of the colors as it goes up from the bottom to the top. I got to visit Yellowstone Park, and that was beautiful. Old Faithful erupted right when we were there, as is always the case. I visited the Badlands. Rustic, yes, but in its own way, beautiful and unusual. I got to go up Mount St. Helens about 3 months after it erupted. It was still smoking. The lake was still full of the logs. I guess they're still there. But I also noticed some greenery was starting to grow. The beauty of creation was perfect when God created it. But then came Adam and Eve. God's prized creation. They disobeyed God. They ate of that fruit of that tree they were told not to eat of. And sin entered the world. Sometimes, well, when I was young, I thought that only meant to the human beings. Everybody would now be sinful. But it meant more than that. Creation was subjected to futility. We're under a health advisory today, aren't we? Because of the fires, the wildfires in Canada and northern Minnesota. That wasn't intended to happen when God created the world. We had a straight line wind a few weeks ago. Trees were down, buildings were damaged. God didn't plan that. That came as a result of sin. The world changed. And animals. I remember seeing pictures of animals at creation all living together. And now they fight and they kill each other. Again, a result of sin. And then it's even with us. We await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Even Christians have felt the result of Adam and Eve's sin. We daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment, and we can't help ourselves. We're born that way. We're conceived that way. No matter how hard we try, we're not perfect. We every single day fall short. We're all victims of that sin of Adam and Eve. And if that were allowed to go its course, all of creation would end up destroyed. All of the people would go to hell. But that's not what God wanted to have happen. There is a cure for our discouragement. There is a cure for the times when we feel like we just can't do anything. God says, first of all, look at my son and what he has done. The redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope we were saved. Salvation. Not something we can earn. God says if you want to earn your way to heaven, you must be perfect. We're not. And yet God said, but I want you to be there. And so he sent his son to take care of that desire, to take care of those requirements God had set. God said, you must be perfect if you want to get to heaven. We're not. So Jesus said, I'll do it for you. And he became a human being under his father's laws. And for 33 years, he lived a perfect life. And he said, now that perfect robe that I have, I'm going to give to you to wear. So when my Father in heaven looks at you, he doesn't see your sins, he sees my perfection. And he will be pleased. His Father also said, I demand a death to pay for the sins of the world. So Jesus, on his last trip to Jerusalem, before he went, his disciples said, don't go. You have enemies there. You might die. Jesus said, that's why I came, to die. And so he went up to Jerusalem. He allowed himself to be arrested, tried, convicted, nailed to a cross, and he died. But right before he died, he said, it is finished. His work of making it possible for us to go to heaven was complete. His perfect life, his substitutionary death that paid for the sins of all people. And then he went one step further. He overcame death and the devil by doing something none of us can do. He rose from the dead. And for 40 days after that, he proved that he was alive by appearing to many, many people. And then he ascended on high, where he now lives to rule the world in our place, or our behalf, to prepare a place for us to live. He said, because I have risen, you too will one day rise to live with me in glory. The glory of the future. But if we hope for something we do not see, we hope to go to heaven, right? But can any of you tell me what it looks like? We can't see it. We can't understand it because it's perfect and our sight is tainted by sin. So any ideas that we might have about heaven fall way short because it's something that God has prepared for us and it's perfect. That's where we will go. And then Paul compares it to something we can all understand. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. He said, yeah, you're going to have letdowns. You're going to be discouraged. But realize this time here is just a short time. And those discouragements only last for a short time. Compare them to the glory that will be yours in heaven, which will never end. What about those discouragements? He says, they go by the wayside. They may be there for a while, but they're going to be gone. Rather look forward to where you are going. Creation. Creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. The world as we know it will disappear. A new world will be created. What it looks like, I don't know. But all of creation, now caught in sin, is looking forward to that day when the Lord will reappear and will judge the world. He says, hope that is seen is not hope, but those who hope for what he already sees, in this hope we are saved. The end of the world will happen. And on that day, all believers will finally be revealed. Do you know who they are? I think there's going to be some surprises. Probably some people we thought would never have a chance, they're going to be there. And others who we thought were going to be there for sure won't be. Because what's in their heart, only God knows. And he knows who are the believers and who are not. And on judgment day, they will be separated. And for the believers, for you, that will be a day of great joy. Patience. But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance. He says, be patient. We're not, are we? How many times have we thought, I wish this were done yesterday? We often want things to happen now. God said, the end will happen. Be patient. Endure your questions. Endure your impatience. Because you know that he will return to judge the world. So wait for it. He has the time set. He will come to take you to live with him in glory. God never said it would be easy to be a Christian. Much tribulation will happen to us as we travel this life. But don't be discouraged. The glory that awaits us is beyond human description. It will happen. Heaven will be your home. Amen.